Monitor 67, which means in this half hour, everything from UFO to SOS. The UFO standing for the latest revelation in the unidentified flying object category, and the SOS, the latest developments in the sport of speed, auto racing. Your HOTM, host of the moment, Gene Rayburn, and brand new from Herb Alpert, Wade in the Water. Take your shoes off first, please.
It takes a man of high caliber to do Billy Boone's job. He's a human cannonball. Tell me, Billy, how are things down there?
Not so good. I feel half shot.
Here, have some V8. It'll charge you up.
Looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 gives you the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow! It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Sure gives you live.
And now, here's Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me ask you this. Is your car's engine running like something it doesn't fit? Well, maybe you better change to a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Yes, it's a proven fact that crude oil from wells in the Pennsylvania region produces oils of superior lubricity, or oiliness. Because they have a unique molecular structure, Pennsylvania motor oils last longer, make your car's engine run smoother. Follow the lead of sports car fans. For the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And by the way, if you're a sports car fan, get this. The Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association again this year is repeating its offer of rally kits. Each kit has 6 big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 sanctioned rally scoring slips. To get a rally kit for your club, just send $1 to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. Today marks the beginning of the third consecutive year that Sport of Speed has been privileged to be associated with the Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association, bringing to the auto racing enthusiast coast to coast news, views, and results of the country's most rapidly growing sport. Mel Allen will be reminding you twice each weekend to insist on one of the makes of Pennsylvania Grade Motor Oil sold by dealers everywhere whenever you add oil or have the oil changed. The active Northeast region of the Sports Car Club of America holds an annual banquet tonight dedicated as a salute to American racers. The list of the guests of honor is impressive, including Carroll Shelby, Richie Ginther, Skip Scott, Peter Revson, and Bob Tullius. The affair is being held at the Thompson Auto and Aviation Museum in Cleveland, Ohio. The Florida State Fair at Tampa continues with the Winter National Sprint Program, which concludes with racing this afternoon and tomorrow. On Wednesday last, the 30-lap feature was won by Jerry Daniels of St. Paul, Minnesota, with little trouble since he started on the pole. Second place was taken by Carl Busson of Toledo, Ohio, and third spot went to Bill Cudabor of Roxana, Illinois. With 39 cars entered and with more than $37,000 in posted awards at stake, the Automobile Racing Club of America 250-miler at Daytona Florida International Speedway tomorrow figures to be the fastest, most competitive race John Markham's Midwest organization has run. This group of late model stockers differ from the NASCAR setup in that they permit no factory support and are in all cases truly independent. While their cars are some miles per hour slower than their NASCAR friends, they lack none of the driving ability and daring that makes for fine racing. Just so Richard Petty won't be a prophet without honor, let it be said that of the 17 men he named as most likely candidates to win the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 26, 14 of them have qualified for the late model stock car classic at better than 175 miles an hour. No matter which Detroit make a racing fan pulls for, he'll find his favorite make running swift in the 500. Four makes are represented in the top four qualifiers: Chevelle, Plymouth, Dodge, and Ford. This indicates that this year's race will be the most competitive in history, with no one car having a decisive edge. After 2 days of testing over the Sebring, Florida 5.2-mile road course, Hap Sharp of Midland, Texas, who with Jim Hall are the designer builders of the Chaparral sports racing cars, has said that the change of contour caused by the removal of the Webster turn would make the course faster by about 5 seconds a lap. This is Ted Webb from Daytona International Speedway for Monitor Sports.
Sport at Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania Motor Oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
On Monitor tomorrow evening, you'll hear Sport at Speed with Ted Webb at 8:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. While you're making a note of that, add the fact that a special 90-minute Meet the Press program will follow on NBC with six members of the President's Commission on Law Enforcement as a guest. Earlier in the day, there'll be a regular half-hour Meet the Press with former presidential assistant Bill Moyers as the guest. As always, the most provocative, informative listening is to be found here on NBC Radio. And add the adjective entertaining, too, when you're tuned to the Monitor Beacon. Monitor's Music Cup runneth over. Here's Ed Ames.
Sometimes in the morning, when shadows are deep, I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with love. see. I study the small things you do constantly. I memorize moments that I'm fondest of. My cup runneth over with love. It only a moment. We both will be old. We won't even notice turning cold. And so in this moment, with sunlight above, my cup runneth over with love. My cup runneth over with love.
Orange juice from Florida. It's delicious, healthful, and now it's less expensive.
Just a minute, mister. Claims, claims, claims. That's all I hear these days. Is it really delicious?
You bet your sweet life it is.
I know it's healthful.
You bet your life it is.
And is it really less expensive now?
You bet it is.
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty good. Frozen orange juice from Florida is America's best food value. The Florida Citrus Commission.
For several months now, customers awaiting their turn in the barber shop of Ralph Ditter in Zanesville, Ohio, have passed some of their time looking at a number of unusual photographs and speculating on their meaning. Well, recently, the rest of the nation got the chance to see these same photos of an object which falls into the category of UFOs. Among those who saw the photos was Monitor's Long John Neble, who's had a great deal of experience talking with those who claim to have seen this type of aerial objects. But this time he talked with a leading authority and writer on the subject, Frank Edwards.
Frank, I want you to tell me whether you believe that that's a legitimate picture. I don't mean to say that Mr. Ditter would not be legitimate, but what is it?
Well, this is a Polaroid picture taken on November 13th over this man's house. He is not only a barber, he's also an amateur astronomer. And he came out of his house on the morning of November 13th, 1966, and he says he noticed this huge object hovering at low altitude over his home. He ran back in the house and got a loaded Polaroid camera and snapped several pictures of this object, of which the one in the paper there is an example. This shows a circular object about 20 to perhaps 30 feet in diameter. It's flat on smooth on the bottom with a low vertical dome on the top of it. And in the original print, John, you can see that there is some kind of gear underneath this thing, which doesn't show up. It's lost
in the
screen,
yeah.
Yes. I believe this is an authentic picture because this thing is an exact duplicate of the object that was photographed over a highway near Santa Ana, California, on the morning of August the 3rd, 1965. By an official of the Los Angeles County Highway Department named Rex Heflin. He also took Polaroid pictures of this thing. Rex was going out to photograph the scene of a fatal accident which had occurred the night before. He had this loaded Polaroid camera on the seat of his car, and he saw the object, he says, approaching the highway ahead of him. It stopped, and he stopped and made three pictures, two of them through the windshield of his car, the other through the side window on the car. And the object that he photographed on August the 3rd, 1963, in California, looks exactly like this object that was photographed by Mr. Ditter on November 13th, 66, over Zanesville, Ohio.
Frank, we're saying the object. What is it?
I think it is an authentic picture of what the Air Force chooses to call an unidentified flying object.
What do you mean by an unidentified flying object? I know that we haven't identified it. That's what the phrase means. But is there a possibility that this craft is coming here from some other planet?
This is the conclusion that is arrived at by all the knowledgeable researchers in the field. That these
well,
things
now you are
a...
one of the top men in the field. Do me a favor. Don't tell me what the others are thinking. I want to know what you think about it. Do you believe it's coming from another planet?
I think it's coming from an extraterrestrial source.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's coming from a planet in our solar system or some other solar system in our galaxy, I don't know. In fact, nobody knows, but they are certainly of extraterrestrial origin, and they are conceived and directed by intelligent beings of a very high order, according to Dr. Hermann Oberth.
Frank Edwards, would you say then that there's a possibility that this craft and others similar to it are trying to find out how we're living on this planet? Are they investigating us? Is there a possibility they're taking photographs or whatever they call their method of reproduction?
I think that the answer to your question is undoubtedly yes, an unqualified yes, that we have been under systematic surveillance since these things first appeared over northwestern Europe, over Russia and the Scandinavian countries, in May of 1946. And they have been conducting a systematic surveillance of man and all of his work from that day to this.
We've been talking with Frank Edwards. My name, Long John Neville, reporting for Monitor.
Monitor will have more to say on the subject of UFOs later today, so be sure to keep us under surveillance by staying tuned to NBC. Here's a Monitor tip for the do-it-yourself home painter. When using a roller, cover the roller pan completely with a plastic or aluminum wrap before pouring in the paint. Then, after you're through, remove the wrap and the roller pan is clean and ready for use another time. Sticking to the exercise, any exercise program, is an uphill fight. Unfortunately, most Americans are going downhill. Physical fitness-wise, that is. For an enlightening essay on keeping in trim, read The Facts About Exercise in the March issue of Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Beneficial, and in most cases surprisingly enjoyable. Read it today in March, Better Homes and Gardens. And if you're interested in keeping your home in top shape, read the second article in the exclusive series, Home Improvement 1967. This month's article takes you step by step to a more efficient kitchen. Also, 20 decorating ideas under $25, and the four best roasts you'll ever fix, all in March. Better Homes and Gardens, on sale now. In the Walter Wanderley way, coming your way on Monitor. In southern Maine, we reach you over WCSH, Portland. Right now, we've reached a brief timeout. Gene Rayburn back shortly.
Monitor, exploring the weekend world on the NBC Radio Network.